This Sunday marks an anniversary for Elaine and I as well, because it was 10 years ago, and the Sunday was November 1st, that Elaine and I came here to worship in this church. Our house was for sale in Smithfield, and we decided that, well, we had better find a church family in Belleville, because that's where we're going to move. And Emmanuel was on both of our minds when we talked about it, when we expressed where we would like to worship, because we had had a little bit of experience with Emmanuel and with some of the pastors here as well. Even the apartment that we have was an answer to prayer, because we wanted a three-bedroom apartment. We'd come from a 2,900 square foot home. And so when we looked at the apartments, we looked at a few buildings, and I said to Elaine, I don't know. I don't know whether apartment living is going to be good for us or not. We finally went to the Regency down here on Victoria Avenue, and were shown through by the superintendent, Paul Tyrer. I asked him, I said, Paul, you have three-bedroom apartments, don't you? And he said, yes, but he said, they rarely come open. And within a month, he phoned me and said, Ray, I've got a three-bedroom apartment coming open. He said, would you be interested in it? And I said, well, our house hasn't sold yet. I said, we have a tentative offer on it, but it hasn't sold yet. And I said, I cannot commit to you until we get something firm here. And then in December, well, he said, come on down anyway. He said, and let's talk. So we went down, and they were renovating this apartment. The lady that had lived there before us had lived there 37 years. And that is what happens at this apartment building. People live there long term because it's such a great building. And he said, Ray, he said, we've got a lot of work to do in that apartment. So he said, we'll work with you. Well, it was in December that we finally got our offer firmed up. And as it so happens, it was a young couple from Brighton who bought our house, a young Christian couple, which we were so happy to see happen. Who had three children, and she simply adored old houses, and so they purchased our home. And then I was able to firm things up with Paul. When we came here, I kept hearing people say, we need a Bible study. We need a Bible study. So I went to Pastor Paul and offered my services to lead a Bible study. And so he said, well, you have to be members of the church. I said, we intend to become members of the church. And so we did. We became members, and I started leading a Bible study at 9 o'clock, I think it was, Sunday morning, Bill? Yeah, for the adults in the upper room. And eventually, that when I approached the board when he announced his retirement and gave them my credentials, they said, yes, we would like you to be our interim pastor. And so we became interim pastor and his wife here, and it was that was in January. I started in June. God kept laying it on my heart that I should be ordained, and so I approached the Canadian Baptist of Ontario and Quebec, and the response was, "Would you take a little more formal education?" And I said, "Yes, as long as I don't have to leave the ministry here, because there's a lot to do." And so Elaine and I, for 2 years, would travel on weekends up to Kitchener, where I intended it's called a lay pastor's training plan program. It's an accredited course through the Canadian Baptist of Ontario and Quebec. And, of course, I didn't drive, so Elaine drove me. She sat in the room, and she was such a familiar figure there that they handed her the notes as well. But she said, I'm not writing the papers. In 2 years, I wrote at least 24 papers. And that was to prepare me for pastorship, which I had done a lot of prior to that. And then 16 months after I was interim pastor here, the pastoral search committee called Elaine and I in and interviewed us for 2.5 hours. And then shortly after that, a vote was held with the congregation, and they overwhelmingly voted to have me as their pastor. 7 years and 10 months have passed, and we can't believe how fast it has gone. But this year, I made the decision that I would retire, and that Elaine and I would spend more time together at home. But during the course of my ministry, it became Elaine's ministry as well, because she led a ladies' group here. She supervised the kitchen. She played piano and organ and did a lot of things. And she got to preach on Father's Day, which was a blessing for all people. And it was for me too. But as we begin this ministry, my wife gave me a card. And it says, if there were nothing else but our love for each other, we would still have all we need. And this is what she wrote. This is my prayer for you as you again step into ministry, that the Lord would help you plant good roots in this church, plant sturdy seeds that will produce strong roots, and they in return will grip others there and grow tall and beautiful, showing love and kindness in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. May our congregation go forward with goodness and action, wanting to support you and therefore take part in work, the work of the Lord, all of us and for Emmanuel. My prayer is also that you will never deviate too far from our own beginnings. My love always, Elaine. That scripture that Ron read for you has been my guide, my, for lack of a better word, philosophy in my approach to ministry. To preach the word. In this day and age, there are so many churches who are deviating away from the word. So many that are preaching a social gospel, bending to the pressures that are put upon them by various outside groups. But I do not want to stand before my Lord and have Him say to me, why did you not preach the word? It has always been my contention that this is the true word of God. This Bible is the guide for our lives. Now, just like Carrie bought our vehicle when Elaine decided to stop driving, and in there was a manual. This is our manual for life, for a spiritual life, to guide us in all we do. And my one aim was to always preach the word here and to lead people to Christ, or at least give them what they needed to make that decision for themselves. And I have seen some do that. And I have been given the spiritual gift of teaching. And so Bible studies were important, because in those Bible studies, we would take the Word of God and we would dissect it and we would glean from there what we needed as believers in Christ, or even as an unbeliever, to come to Christ and to be guided by God's Word. I am leaving this pulpit this morning to begin retirement. And I am looking forward to it. I have mixed feelings this morning about leaving. On one hand, there's sadness. But on the other hand, there is joy. Because I think I have left you with those roots that Elaine spoke about. The roots that go into the Word of God. And then no one else can convince you otherwise that there is any other way but through Jesus to God our Father. And Jesus said in John 14, when He was talking to His disciples and said He was going to prepare a place for them and that He would come back and take them to be with Him. And He said, you know the way that where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going or how you're going. But He said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. if there is nothing else that you ever got out of my messages or my teaching at the Bible studies, it is that fact alone that Jesus is the only way to our Heavenly Father.